This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. The 2018 Hooters Calendar Girls are taking over sunny Tampa Bay. Come meet them in person and get your calendar signed November 30th through December 3rd. Buy one for you, your friends on your Christmas list, or one for the troops, and we will send it out overseas for you. Don't miss out. Among the locations that the Hooters Calendar Girls will be making appearances at: St. Pete 4th Street, North Tampa, Brandon, South Tampa, Channelside, Hillsboro, Spring Hill, Port Richey, Tyrone, Clearwater, Johns Pass, and Clearwater Beach. For all the details on the specific windows and dates within the November 30th through December 3rd time when you can meet the Hooters Calendar Girls, find your location, date and time, at originalhooters.com. And maybe a friend of the Fantasy Football Podcast, who helped us host one of our fantasy football drafts, Brooke from the Hillsboro location, will be part of that at not only the Hillsboro location, but potentially other locations as well. There's little better on a Saturday night watching college football than sitting at the bar at the Hillsboro Hooters and Calendar Girl Brooke waiting on you. It's the one night she always tends bar. All right, not that I would know. So let's get right into the fantasy conversation for this week 11. Again, my email. I give this as early in the podcast as I can now, just in advance of if there's something specifically I don't cover that you need a second opinion on as it relates to your season-long league or your DFS plays, email me at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. First, quick thoughts on last night's Thursday night win for the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Tennessee Titans. I feel for you, DeMarco Murray owners. I really do. Every year in fantasy football, there is a clear player, usually it's more of a wide receiver than a running back, that you drafted to play all season long, and they underperform to the point where you start mixing and matching, being a little selective with when you play them. And I would imagine there's some of you that last week didn't play DeMarco Murray, and he scores 3 touchdowns. So, of course, you turn right around and put him in the lineup on Thursday night, albeit wasn't a great matchup against Pittsburgh, and he barely does anything. I feel for you, but it happens with certain players. Those players they're tougher to predict. Basically, just going forward, I don't think many of you who own DeMarco Murray are going to be in the market for DeMarco Murray in future seasons. Also, Murray is getting on in age, although we are 3 years removed from when he led the NFL in rushing with the Dallas Cowboys. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown will probably be the top wide receiver selected in season-long fantasy football leagues again next year, and the highest-priced wide receiver in DFS going forward and next year after his 3-touchdown performance against the Tennessee Titans. So for those of you who are Antonio Brown owners, don't blow the big lead this weekend. You clearly have a huge lead, probably 30, 35, 40 points, something in there. I know one owner in my league hasn't paired up with the Steelers kicker going forward. Don't blow that lead. And for those of you who are Juju Smith-Schuster owners and sort of saying, hey, what about us? He'd given you 2 really nice games, 1 enormous game. He's still just a rookie. He's not the number one target in Pittsburgh. The Bell and Brown are going to get most of it, but Juju Smith-Schuster every week should be in your lineup considerations, and you take it from there. All right, so let's go Sunday games, no particular order. Let's start with Buffalo-San Diego because of the quarterback change in Buffalo. Now, just a couple weeks ago, I streamed Tyrod Taylor in a Tom Brady bye week, and the garbage time was fantastic. But in real football, garbage time is no good. And Buffalo still is in the playoff chase for a wild card spot. And clearly the head coach there thinks that the rookie Peterman from Pitt can give them more of a consistent passing game. This goes in line with them trading for Kelvin Benjamin. So I clearly think Benjamin should be targeted a lot in this game. I'd be worried about Deontay Thompson, who bubbled up for a couple of weeks there with Tyrod Taylor in bad games for the Buffalo Bills. Charles Clay's a good tight end. As he gets healthy, healthy enough to play, and he's not going to disappear from the game plan. And this does look like a decent bounce-back spot for Shady McCoy. On the Charger side, it's pretty much the same with a Melvin Gordon. He's had some enormous games. He's had some bad games. It is a risk, but you probably drafted him to be an RB1 or an RB2 unless you clearly have a better option. It's not a bad spot considering the strength of the Bills was supposedly their pass defense until New Orleans ran all over them. So I would say, and Austin Ekeler had a key fumble at the end of the Jacksonville game, even though Ekeler had a better game fantasy-wise than Gordon. Keenan Allen, I've said it over and over and over and over and over again. That's why I don't own Keenan Allen, because Keenan Allen doesn't score touchdowns. And Rivers at this point, I think you're looking elsewhere. He's fallen from that level of sort of a mid-pack fantasy quarterback who he's going to lose the head-to-head with Brady, Rodgers, last year Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, back when Andrew Luck actually played in the NFL. But he wasn't going to hurt you in other areas, and there was going to be a lot of garbage time throws for Rivers. Now he's dropped below that. I don't know that Rivers is a guy you want in your lineup as you make the push for the playoffs. Baltimore and Green Bay. It is the second lowest Vegas total on the board at 38. Ravens, though, getting some buzz as they could potentially get Danny Woodhead back. Jeremy Maclin actually has bubbled up as an option for a flex play this particular week. I've been getting questions about Alex Collins. I don't like touching Ravens running backs. It almost feels like I'm too desperate. Sorry for those of you that own Ravens running backs. A few of them have had good games this year. Green Bay, the value of the Packers has just plummeted. An entirely different team without Aaron Rodgers, even though they win last week at Soldier Field against the Chicago Bears. If you own Jordy Nelson, you know after a few weeks here with Brett Hundley, he's not really worth playing. Devontae Adams had a decent game. Maybe you're getting him in the lineup, but it is now against the Ravens. There's just not a lot to like fantasy-wise in this game. Generally, when a Vegas total is low, the only thing to like fantasy-wise in the game are the field goal kickers and the DST. Detroit and Chicago. Now, what does it say for Ravens-Packers at Lambeau when it's a lower total than the Bears game at Soldier Field? Now, some of that is a credit to the Lions, who can move the football. They don't always score touchdowns. They did last week, but that was the matchup. A little different this week, but most of the Lions you would normally play should probably be in play against the Bears, although prepare for fewer snaps as the Bears play old-school football and just try to run the clock. Trubisky did throw the ball more recently, but still the plan in Chicago would be Jordan Howard, Jordan Howard, Jordan Howard. From a Detroit standpoint, just lower your expectations a little bit, and particularly all of a sudden, Marvin Jones had a very bad week on the overall numbers. Not just what he produced, but how often he was out there. Something's up. Marvin Jones had been one of the top wide receivers in fantasy. I don't know if you're playing him this week in this matchup and off what happened last week. I don't know. I think you might be looking for something else, and you need to see another decent Marvin Jones game or get some answers there. Kansas City and the New York Giants. Andy Reid is the king of coming off the bye week. So, Alex Smith, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Chiefs DST, all heavily in play this week. Chiefs are an 11-point favorite on the road at the Giants, who are coming home after being the victim of the Niners' first victory. Total is 45, but yeah, pretty much all the Chiefs are in play in this game, and really the only Giants that are in play are Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard, and if you're playing, Orleans Dark was kind of a Ravens running back on the Giants. He's the best they got, and if he's the best you got, then things clearly didn't go very well for you this season. Washington and New Orleans, high total, 51. All right, so where are the points going to come from? Well, the Saints did put up a big number last week, and they did it running the ball. Right now, Mark Ingram is like a top three play in fantasy football, regardless of position. Three touchdowns last week. Alvin Kamara continues to get in the end zone every week. Found the end zone again last week. Good yardage. Saints love using him. He's not just a change of pace to Ingram. They put him in so he can move the football. Michael Thomas got going last week. Ted Ginn was not as involved. I believe only had one catch. So those are your Saints. And you know you're playing Breeze. Washington. Really, it's Kirk Cousins, and then you're guessing after that. Jamison Crowder's targets are back up. I think he is worth owning. I don't think he is worth starting. Chris Thompson, not worth starting right now. P. Ryan, I don't think he's worth rostering. So I think that's all you're looking at of significance in this game. But the Saints' defense is improved. Cousins will find a way to put up yardage, though, against that Saints defense. This is just what Kirk Cousins does. He's playing for a contract again. Rams and Minnesota. Case Keenum playing for his job. I doubt many of you are starting Case Keenum, although if you played him daily last week, he paid off. Keenum can be pulled at any moment. It's clear the Vikings kind of feel Teddy's ready to go. Teddy showed he cared. Teddy worked hard to get back. We want to play him. So Case Keenum knows that every possession he has to produce. I kind of like that right now for the Vikings. And they have a lot of guys producing on offense. Multiple tight ends. Multiple wide receivers. Multiple running backs. So number of guys in play. I think this will be more of a McKinnon game than a Murray game. And even though it's the Rams, yeah, I think you play Diggs. You play Thielen. From the Rams standpoint, first of all, I like the Vikings in the game. I think the Vikings can make life challenging for Todd Gurley, which makes things more difficult for Jared Goff. Robert Woods has had two amazing weeks. I'm not sure it's three in a row. It just doesn't feel that way. And sort of as Woods goes, so goes the Rams passing offense. I wouldn't be thrilled about playing. If you have Woods, you're playing him, but I would lower expectations. I don't think guys like Kupp and Watkins can coattail Robert Woods in this one, and I don't think Goff is a great streamer. Or if you picked him up to play him the rest of the week to get you to the playoffs. Buccaneers and Dolphins, this was their bye week. Bucks and Dolphins both play really, really ugly football games. But fantasy-wise, yeah, there are some guys I think worth playing in this particular game. Dolphins just gave up a huge number to Jonathan Stewart. Some are suggesting that means Doug Martin can put up a number in this game. I wouldn't be so sure. I think you can find a better running back choice. Martin hasn't given you anything for, what, a month. From Miami's standpoint, if Jarvis Landry's gotten in the end zone five of the last six games, again, it's not pretty, but it is a touchdown. Five of the last six. Cutler knows where he is, and Cutler doesn't like having the ball in his hand. I told you Kenyon Drake, I thought, was the better option running back in Miami. I'll go a step further. Over the last couple weeks, I've been trying to tell all of you, jumping on the Alfred Morris, Rod Smith, Darren McFadden, no Ezekiel Elliott bandwagon. Not worth it. Not going to happen. Exacerbated by the Tyron Smith injury, who won't play on Sunday Night Football. Kenyon Drake was the back worth picking up, not the replacement Cowboy back. For the Buccaneers, with Fitzmagic under center again, yeah, there'll be some yardage out there. Mike Evans, I think you play him this week just because Mike's coming off the one-game suspension, and I do think Mike cares. And Mike is the type of receiver who should be the beneficiary of sort of a gunslinging quarterback like Fitzmagic. Arizona at Houston. Not a lot to like in this game either. The point I would make about Houston in this game is if you've been hanging in there with DeAndre Hopkins because he's still getting the targets and having some production with Tom Savage in there, the problem is Hopkins draws Patrick Peterson this week, who erases as many opposing wide receivers as anybody in the NFL. Do you start him? I guess, unless you are so loaded at wide receiver, you for the last like few weeks, you've like just had to bench one. This would be the week to probably bench DeAndre Hopkins. But you don't bench DeAndre Hopkins for, let me find an obscure one, Danny Amendola. You don't bench DeAndre Hopkins for Brandon LaFell. You don't bench DeAndre Hopkins for trying to find another kind of obscure one. I love Ted Ginn. I don't know that you bench DeAndre Hopkins for Ted Ginn this week. So that's my point. And Lamar Miller, yeah, an RB2, a flex, just because it's Tom Savage, and Miller's got to have a little higher volume. From the Arizona standpoint, it's not the greatest matchup for Adrian Peterson, but there's something I like about it for Adrian Peterson, who's been either way up or way down. We know the volume will be there. And now there is a different quarterback. There's nothing to get excited about with Blaine Gabbert, but Blaine Gabbert isn't Drew Stanton. And as Bruce Arians said this week about Blaine Gabbert's career, he's played for shitty teams. Arizona may not be great, but under Bruce Arians, they're rarely shitty. And obviously you're playing Larry Fitzgerald as you do every week. Jacksonville, Cleveland. This is the ultimate trap game. Jacksonville off the latest sort of never-ending game in the NFL, and they find a way to win it, or San Diego finds a way to lose it after Jacksonville tried to find a way to lose it. It was a battle of who wanted it less. Jacksonville is an 8-point favorite, last I looked, at Cleveland, although the total is very low at 37. So what do you do here? Well, I think all you've been doing all year with the Jags is probably playing Fournette, and you've been considering other pass catchers, but I don't have the latest on D.D. Westbrook. I'm getting tired of waiting for D.D. Westbrook and just following the news. If he gets on the field and he does something, then great. Then we'll talk about him. And from the Browns standpoint, not a lot to get excited about here other than the fact that it just feels like a trap game for the Jags. So don't go out of your way if you've been doing it all year. Playing guys or putting in fantasy starters against the Cleveland Browns. If you have the Jags DST, you're definitely playing them this week. If you have Leonard Fournette, you're definitely playing him. Beyond that, I'd be cautious. Something about this game scares me. New England and Oakland are in Mexico City. It is the highest total of the week. That is a it's a very unique atmosphere. The Patriots have stayed out west after winning the Denver game. They were at the Air Force Academy all week. We'll go down to Oakland, and if anyone can prepare for sort of odd circumstances like that being away, it's a Bill Belichick, Tom Brady run team. So normal Patriots are in play. As far as Rex Burkhead is concerned, if you picked him up, go ahead and play him. Yeah, why not? I mean, he's been hot for 2 weeks, and there's nothing about the Raider defense that's scary. Although if you have Deion Lewis, I think you're still playing him too, because he gets the short yardage carries, and he had a special teams touchdown last week, which you should get credit for as an individual, just like the Patriots get credit for them with DST. From Oakland, it's pretty predictable who you're playing in this game. Crabtree, Cooper, with your fingers crossed, and Marshawn Lynch, who showed signs of life the last time we saw the Raiders. And obviously you're playing David Carr if you've stuck with him through to this point in the season. From the Cincinnati standpoint against Denver, another odd game to me. Brock Osweiler now has Paxton Lynch firmly behind him as number two. I think this is totally an Osweiler game. He showed the ability to connect with Emmanuel Sanders on the Emmanuel Sanders return. Check the status of Demaryius Thomas for going into Sunday. C.J. Anderson, yeah, I guess you're playing him, but he's sort of more of a lower-end RB2-3 flex play. Bengals is pretty standard. It's Joe Mixon, and it's A.J. Green, and that's it. And A.J. Green can give you a big game, and Joe Mixon, you just kind of hope you push the other person's running back. Philadelphia and Dallas. I said this on Gil Alexander's VEASAN show yesterday, and I am a Cowboys fan. I sense quit in the Dallas Cowboys. They had the impressive victory over the Kansas City Chiefs a couple weeks ago. Then Ezekiel Elliott loses in court, sits out a game. Cowboys then go into that game also without their starting left tackle. They play a competitive game for about a quarter and a half, and then nothing. And I wasn't that impressed by Atlanta either. It's easy to get in the offensive backfield when nobody's blocking you. So I know the Falcons put up all those sacks, but that's the worst the Cowboys' O-line has looked in 5 years. Then we hear this week there will be no December 1 date of significance for the Elliott suspension, that Elliott will just go ahead and serve it. Still no Tyron Smith at left tackle. Cowboys at home on a Sunday night. I think they're going to show up and play. There will obviously be a game plan here. Dak Prescott, it's a lot on him, but he ran for his life last week. He might do it again this week. And I think once it goes bad, it could go really bad for Dallas in this game. So I wouldn't be too enthused about playing any Dallas Cowboys unless Dak Prescott has been your best option at quarterback and you don't really have someone in his class. Like, I wouldn't play Phillip Rivers instead of Dak Prescott. I wouldn't play Joe Flacco instead of Dak Prescott. But if you have, well, I don't know, I'll give you sort of another, I'd be more into playing David Carr than Dak Prescott this week. Now, Dak could get you a rushing touchdown just like he did last week. That's nice. But this doesn't feel like a good spot for the Cowboys beyond Dak. From Philadelphia, yeah. No, like everybody, yeah, play him. Eagles coming off a bye week, whether it is you're playing Ajayi, you're probably playing Blunt, you're definitely playing Wentz. Ertz seems healthy. He's now been basically off the field for 2 weeks. Alshon Jeffrey feels like Nelson Aguilar. Yeah, a lot of Eagles in play in this game. And finally, on Monday night, we will be giving you a Monday podcast. Again, I had some travel concerns last week. Monday night, Falcons and Seahawks. Again, I'm not impressed by the Falcons. The Falcons beating that Dallas team last week, I don't think solves anything. But sure, you're still playing Matt Ryan. If you're a Tevin Coleman owner, yeah, you're playing him with Devontae Freeman sitting this one out. You're obviously still playing Julio Jones, although it is against the Seattle secondary, albeit now without Richard Sherman. And I think you're probably still playing Mohamed Sanu. He's not giving you much of a reason not to play him the last month since you picked him up on waivers. Seattle feels like a good Russell Wilson game. I still wouldn't touch any of the Seahawks running backs. In the year of the tight end, the latest one is Jimmy Graham. Jimmy. Jimmy likes Jimmy. Jimmy likes Russell Wilson throwing Jimmy the ball. Thank you, Seinfeld fans, for getting that reference. Doug Baldwin, heavily in play. I know Paul Richardson had a down game, and it's tough to pick between Richardson and Lockett. But if you're desperate for a wide receiver this week, or looking for a DFS bargain, a Richardson or a Lockett, one of them's going to find the end zone this week against the Falcons. Remember, email me any of your unique fantasy questions. I'll give you a second opinion. The most important opinion is yours. The best opinion I can give beyond that is a second opinion, which you can also get from the wonderful people like Matthew Berry and Field Yates and Mike Clay and Steve Gallo and the Roto World guys, Patrick Daugherty, Evan Silva. They're very good at what they do. But you can always reach me, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And remember, those Hooters calendar girls are coming to Tampa Bay. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area, Hooters calendar girls making appearances from November 30th? I'm looking back at the release I got. November 30th through December 3rd. The Hooters girls are going to make appearances at, 12 different Hooters locations around the Tampa Bay area. For the full schedule and to get your calendar signed and to meet the Hooters calendar girls, visit originalhooters.com. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you soon.